Well, as she said, I'm Lisa Winters, and it's funny because I was thinking about, you know, what you don't, none of you know, really know me, and I've just gotten, getting to know some of you, and I'm so privileged. It's fine. No, I'll be good. And honored to be asked to come here to speak to you ladies and share time with you today. We first met Aileen, as she said, back at our Boston trip. And that was a whole lot that went on. Some of us got lost. It was pretty scary. But we had a city-savvy lady with us, so we were very thankful for that. But we've been very blessed by having her join our co-op. As she said, my husband pastors the Rock Church, and we have four children. I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. I always like to know about the person that's speaking, right? You want to know a little bit about her? My oldest is Olivia. She's 19. She's married. Today is actually her 1 year anniversary, and my second daughter is 14. Her name is Victoria, and then I have a son who is 8. His name is Joseph, and I have a 3-year-old son, William. So yes, I spaced my kids out, but they're all doing well, and somehow we're making it. And as Aileen said, we homeschool, so it's been a great privilege for me to meet other women, and that's one of the things I like about our co-op is that I've been able to meet other women of other denominations and know that we all love one another and we all have the same goal to just further the kingdom of Christ. Amen. So I just thank you very much for having me. My husband and I have been in ministry for about 16 years. We met in our home church in Bangor and got married when I was 19 and he was 20. He finished college at the University of Maine and got a regular job, which I thought was going to give me a normal life. My dad was a pastor, so I traveled a lot growing up, moved to different states. And so I was looking forward to marrying a man that was going to just have a normal job. And then we got married, and he had a normal job for only a couple of years, and then decided that we were called to go to Bible school. So that's what we did. And we've been in ministry ever since, and we've moved quite a few times. But we're planted in Bangor, which we're very thankful for that. And I just wanted to kind of talk to you today. If you have your Bibles with you, I see some of you that do. If you could turn to Luke chapter 1. And when we think about Christmas time, I don't know about you, but there's so many thoughts that my mind, you know, emotions that get stirred up sometimes of our childhood. It could be a song. It could be a scent or maybe a cookie or whatever it is that will bring your mind back to when you were younger, or that Christmas special memory. But I love the story in Luke chapter 1, and I'm just going to begin reading it. Chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary said, and the angel left her. At this time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, a baby in my womb leaped for joy." And this is a key verse today that I want us to just kind of zero in on. "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And this morning, what I want us to leave here today remembering and hopefully thinking about through this whole Christmas season is blessed are you when you believe the word of God. Blessed are you. I love this scripture. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And that's what Mary did. She simply believed. Believe God when you are fearful. In verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled. The angel appeared to her. She was greatly troubled at his words. And he said, "Don't be afraid." How many times have we been afraid? And how easy is it to doubt when we are afraid? It's easy to say, you know, oh, believe God or believe his word. Have faith in God. It's so easy to say those words or those scriptures, you know, have faith in God. You know, just trust God when you're in a good place. It's when you're in a hard place and you're afraid, it becomes difficult to trust God. Anybody agree out there? It becomes difficult when you're up against that place. And Mary was at that place in her life. You know, this angel appears to her. What are these words he's saying to her? She is troubled. But God's words are always to us, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I remember after we had our oldest daughter, Olivia, it was about 4.5 years between my daughters. And my husband had wanted to have another baby. And I remember I had a rough time with my first one. I know we could all of us who've had babies, you know, you sit around a table and there are women, you get going about those baby stories. You don't want any girls or women who have not had babies to be at that table, right? It's almost like you want to plug their ears. It's all going to be okay. And it is okay, right? I had three more. But before that, my husband had, you know, he wanted to have one a little sooner. And I was really afraid because I was thinking, I don't want to go through any more pain. I don't want to go through anything else. You know, I want another child, but I don't want to go through that. And the first year of her life, she was sick a lot, and we were in Bible school, and you know, the story goes on, and we all have a story to tell. But I remember being in a church service one Sunday night, and this was actually after we had gotten out of Bible school. Can I get a drink of water? You had asked me, and I said, no, is this it? Oh, good. Thank you. And we were in a church service, and just that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, you know, just spoke to my heart and said, it's time to have another baby. And I remember thinking, has anyone ever disagreed, you know, had a little bit of a discussion with the Lord in your heart, you know, where you just kind of go back and forth and nobody knows what's going on the inside, but you know what's going on. And I'm thinking, but Lord, you know, at the time we were living with my mother-in-law, we had just gone out of Bible school, and we were the associate pastors at a church in the Bangor area, and we had no health insurance, and it goes on and on and on. But God said to me in my heart, in that still small voice, it's time to have another child. But I was faced with that fear. It wasn't just all these other issues. It was really the fear of, you know, the unknown of what would happen with the second birth and on and on. And so I was faced with that fear. And how many times are we faced with a fear, and we don't want to cross over to the other side of that fear? And almost always on the other side, there are good things waiting for each one of us. If Mary had said, stop, I cannot do what you're saying, what would have happened? God would have chosen someone else, but she would have missed out on the biggest blessing of her life, the reason that she was born. And it's that way in our lives. There's such a blessing waiting on the other side. Don't be afraid. When we are afraid, we don't have to stay in that place, because there will be times and there may be seasons when we deal with fear. I dealt with so much fear growing up. I was afraid of water. I couldn't swim. I was afraid of dogs. I was afraid of the dark. I mean, you name it, I was afraid of it. And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that he can help us overcome in these areas. And one of the biggest ways is to simply believe God. What will your answer be when God asks you, don't be afraid, just believe? God is faithful. And we have to remember that we're blessed if we just will believe that whatever God says, he will do in our lives. So just believe when you're fearful. Number two, believe God for the incredible. Believe God for the incredible. And in verse 31, it says, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David." Talk about incredible. Mary had to believe God for the incredible. That was incredible. You know, we use that word. We overuse it, really. That was an incredible experience. She has this angel come to her, and she's immediately afraid. And then she chooses to not be afraid. She chooses to believe the word of the Lord. Believe for something incredible. Believe for the incredible, what God has spoken to you. Through my life, and I was thinking about this and meditating the last few days, and I've always been blessed since I've moved a lot. God's always blessed me with good friends, and that's something that you can't ever put a price tag on, is a good friend, right? And we went to Bible school. I didn't know anybody there, and I stayed home with my daughter the first year, and so I didn't have any friends. And my husband would go, and he'd come home, and he was meeting all these people. And I remember thinking, "Lord, what about me? I need a friend." And we would go to church. It was a church of about 4,000 people. It's kind of hard to meet, you know, friends that way unless you can get in a some sort of a team or a group. And God gave me a friend, and our daughters were the same age, born the same month, and it was just really neat. And so when we moved back to Maine, we actually had taken a sabbatical. This was a few years back, to Florida for about 7 months. And I'm a Maine girl, so when I say I took a sabbatical to Florida, I wasn't really glad I was going to Florida. I know that sounds a little weird, but I like the snow, and I like snowmobiling and all the hunting and all those Maine things. I love all that. So it was a little difficult. You know, we walk the beach every day, and it gets old after a while. The natives down there, none of the Floridians walk the beach in October, but we walked the beach until November that year because it was warm for us. So 7 months later, God just put on our heart to move back to Maine, and we moved to the Portland area, and we planted our own church there, the Rock Church, and it's actually in South Portland, and that was 12 years ago. And so at that time, we knew one other couple that actually helped us, but then they relocated to another area, so I really didn't have any friends in that area. And the Lord always, like I said, He's always provided for me in this area. But there was this girl that I hadn't met yet. Our husbands had met, and they actually went to the same Bible school that we went to, and we didn't know each other. They were there a couple years prior, and they had just moved to Portland and planted their church 2 years before we did. And so we had a lot in common. Well, right before we met, she wanted a friend. And it can be really lonely without friends. I mean, you can be filled in a crowd of hundreds of people, but without that kindred spirit, it's lonely. Anybody out there? You move to a new location, it's lonely. And so she prayed with her mom, and they had been there for probably 2 years at that time. And she said, "Mom, I want a friend." And her mom said, "Well, let's pray." And her mom just is a type that is very optimistic, and she just believes the Lord, and just, well, whatever you have a need, she just wants to pray. So they prayed together, and she said, "Well, you can pray, but this is a pastor's wife, right? They don't ever talk like this." She said, "You can pray, but my list is long, and these are specifics." And her mom said, "No, that's okay. We're going to pray." And so the first thing on her list was that she had to meet a friend that they would click immediately, that this girl that she'd become friends with would just click. So her mother said, "Okay, we'll pray for that." And she said, "Not only that, but our husbands have to get along and like each other. Because we want to, you know, I want to have this be where, you know, we can go out, the four of us." She said, "Okay, we'll pray for that." And she said, "I want to have the same amount of kids." So she keeps narrowing it down. She said, "Okay, we'll pray for that." And she said, "Our kids have to get along and play well together." How many of you know that is a must? Anybody have kids out there? We know we want our kids to get along. They can make or break a friendship, right? So she said, "Okay, we're going to pray for that." And then she said, "Not only that, but I want her to be a pastor's wife." Okay, so we're narrowing this way down. And the scope is getting a little smaller. And she said, "Okay, we're going to pray." And she said, "And she's going to be of like faith. We need to agree on things because we're going to be close." So what had happened was, it's so funny because this was 12 years ago, And I went to, there was some church thing, you know, all those church things we do, right? It was some church event, and I had gone with my husband, and at the time I had my two girls, and she had two boys. And so our husbands had met, and we didn't realize that, but I saw her, and immediately I thought, this is really spiritual, you guys ready? She was kind of a snoot. You know, I thought she's a little snotty when I saw her first. And I thought, oh, look how she flits around there. You know, how does anybody ever think of those ungodly thoughts? Of course we repent after, right? Hopefully not as we mature and grow. I was much younger then, right? So I saw her, and that was my immediate thought. And I got home, and the Lord, you know, obviously convicted me. And, of course, you think a thought, and then you repent, right? So I just felt like, you know, I needed to call her and invite her to go to lunch. And I thought, I don't really want to do that. I don't even, you know, she doesn't look friendly. She probably doesn't, she's got tons of friends. Why would she want to, you know, be friendly with me? So I invited her out to lunch. We had probably a three-hour lunch, and we've been best friends ever since. So for me, when I think about the incredible, you can look and you can read wonderful stories in the Bible that we build our faith on. But then I like it when we bring it home and we see a practical story. What can God do in your life that's incredible? And with friendship, for me, that is incredible. We have been best friends for 12 years. Our families have taken vacations, Prince Edward Island and South Carolina, and we've taken road trips. Our kids, she has four children, so we had kids, again, two more children, right around the same time. And we pastored churches in the same area in Portland. She was in Gorham, and I was in South Portland, and we kind of hopped around till we bought our building, Scarborough, and different areas. But the sweet thing about our friendship was that there was no competition, and similar to what you were saying, you know, we just were in it for the same reason. And so it's been such a blessing. But when I read that scripture, actually I was talking to my husband last night, and I always, you know, we were talking about this, and he said, well, what you could really tell him was the most incredible thing that happened to you was me. And then he laughed. He goes, you could just tell him that as a joke. And I said, I'll tell him that, because that's the truth. He's a blessing in my life, the biggest blessing. But, you know, the incredible aspect of our lives, God is just waiting to unfold what's behind that door for our lives. And we may feel that, you know, there's something that God's maybe spoken, that still small voice in our heart. Maybe there's something that God wants you to not be afraid of, to believe God for that something else. And maybe it's a spouse, or maybe it's a child, a relationship, a friendship, or maybe it's something beyond that. Maybe it's missions, something that God has put on your heart. He wants you to know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just believe. God is an incredible creator. He is the master of taking our lives. Even when I was praying as I was coming up here this morning, and I said, God, do you ever just think about times in your past and thank God for his mercy? Little attitudes of the heart, little things that maybe you thought or did when you were in times past, when God had asked you to do a certain thing. And sometimes, like the Israelites, it's easy to look and say, why didn't they just get it right away? They could have gotten to the promised land a lot quicker. But truthfully, we probably would have done the same thing. Because how many times have we had to say, God, have mercy, forgive me for this or forgive me for that? God is gracious. Nothing is impossible with God. It is so easy for God to cause us to triumph in our life today for the situation that we're in. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Blessed is she who has believed that what God has said to her, he is going to do it. Blessed is the woman. Mary was blessed, and we are blessed when we just simply take God at his word. God, if you said it's time for me to move, then I'm going to move. God, if you said it's time for me to have a baby, regardless of the fear, I'm going to do that. God, if you said to believe and wait for this or that, no matter what it looks like around, you will provide, because he is incredible. Amen? Number three, simply believe God for the impossible. Believe God for the impossible. Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High. I don't want to read that part. Verse 35. Did I just say 35? I did. Yes. Even Elizabeth, 36. Your relative is going to have a child in her old age, And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Can you imagine being what you would think to be barren and then realizing that you are with child? An impossibility doesn't even exist with God, because nothing is hard for God. Sometimes we get our minds in the now. You know, we live in the natural. We live, we work, we go about our lives. It's good to keep busy, right? But sometimes in the natural realm, we forget that we serve the creator of the universe. You know, that nothing is hard for him. And that's really my message. When I want to encourage women to believe that God is a good God. You know, that nothing is impossible. We all come from different situations, and we all go through trials, right, on this earth. We go through hard times. But don't let that test be wasted. Let it become a testimony in your life. Let it be a testimony. I remember thinking about the impossibilities when we had moved and planted this church in Southern Maine. We had owned a home in Bangor. When my husband was in college, we purchased this house, and we shouldn't have done it. Anybody ever done anything like that? Our parents didn't know as much as we knew, and it was a good deal, and so we bought this house. And this house cost us a lot of money. We ended up moving out of state a couple times, and we had to rent it out. And so for a span of 10 years, we would have tenants in there, and they weren't always gracious to the property, to put it in a nice way. And we had squirrels and rats, and I mean, you name it. We had problems galore in this house. Meanwhile, we're still renting this house out, trying to sell it, had put it on the market. We're in Southern Maine, and God really put it on our heart. We were renting a home in Portland, but we wanted to kind of just have a house that was not right in the city and have some place where we could settle in. We knew we were there for a good amount of time. And so there was a couple in our church down there that helped us plant it that actually moved back up to Bangor. And they were getting ready to move, and they were going to sell their home. And God really put it on our heart that we were going to buy that house. The only catch in all of this was that we had a house in Bangor that we couldn't sell, and we only had $32 in our savings account. So we had good credit, but that doesn't buy you a house. How many of you know that? It takes a little bit more than good credit. So, but we had a word from God that this was going to be our home. And so we began to believe the Lord for this, and it was very difficult. It was very difficult. It came to the point, this couple, they agreed, and they had peace in their heart. They felt like this was the right thing, that they were to sell their home to us. It was just a funny way that everything happened, the way we, you know, came to an agreement on a price. We didn't go through realtors. It was just totally peaceful and godly, and it can still happen that way through Christians, right? And so it was wonderful. But then it came time that we needed to have our money. And we had gone to the bank, and this banker down there was actually a believer. And so she was completely amazed at what transpired over the next few weeks and months. But we were approved. We got our good faith estimate faxed to us. And this good faith estimate said that by this date, and I can't remember how many days out, we had to have $50,000 at closing. Because it was going to be a gift, you have to have double the amount. You can't just walk in with, you can't charge up the money for a down payment. At least you couldn't then. And so we said, okay. We just kind of looked at each other. Have you ever been out so far on a limb in faith? And we weren't in debt. We weren't, you know, we thought about it. Could we just charge up something? Could we, you know, could we call? There was nothing there. Thank God. And so we thought about those things, but we said, God, we're so far out now. The tree was just shaking. You know, the limb was, I felt like I've got to hold on with both. God, you got to get us out of this. So there were sleepless nights. And I remember feeling like this isn't just about our family. This is about another family in our church, our body of believers that really were instrumental in the birth of our work down there. And I wanted them to be blessed. And they needed to have this money so they could buy their house. So they found this house in the Bangor area to buy. And so she called me that night and she said, I just wanted you to know that we're believing God for the money with you. In other words, hurry up. And so I appreciated that and thought, Lord, you got to come through. So I remember the banker said, called us 2 days before, and she was praying with us, but she's got to do that natural part too, you know. She said, okay, in 48 hours, you need to have $50,000. And she had our account. She knew everything. We had $32. And she said, it can't, you know, it has to be a gift. You can't owe this to anyone. And so my husband hung up the phone, and we were thinking, Lord, you know, and our girls, we included them in this. We wanted them to believe the Lord, too, and learn how to live by faith. And so we just said, okay, God, you know, do or die. You know, you're either going to do this or we will look like fools. That's okay. You know, whatever. We will have made a mistake and we'll move on. Well, that day we had a phone call from someone that would seem impossible, but we did not know that this person had this kind of money. And this person said, I heard you need money for a down payment. I'm going to give you $50,000. Asked us how much it was, and Kirk said $50,000. And she said, I'm going to give you $50,000. I'm going to have it in your account, and it is a gift, and you can't pay me back. And he said, thank you very much, hung the phone up, called our banker and said, we'll be down to sign the papers. So, you know, it's times like that when you see, you know, it's hard to go through something that requires to use your faith muscles, and it's uncomfortable. It's like Mary with that angel. I'm sure it wasn't comfortable to see this angel standing before her, telling her something that no one had ever heard before. But when you choose to believe God and cross over into faith, there is a grace that God gives you for whatever he's asking you to do. And it doesn't mean that it needs to be financial, but a lot of times it seems in our life it's been a financial thing that we've had to believe God for. And I remember praying and saying, God, why is it so hard? Why, when we moved to Portland from Florida, we came with our girls. We had just enough money to put money down on a house to rent and pay for our U-Haul, and then we were back at zero again. You know, that was it. And my husband had to find a job, and we didn't have any. We were starting the church with nobody there, that we were only one other couple that we knew. And we had no home. So the apartments, it was 99.9% occupancy rate in Portland back in 98 when we moved there. And so the realtors, we told them, you know, we can only spend this much a month. We want to rent a house. And they would look at us and laugh at us, really. They would just say, you can't do that. You know, you can't do that. And so I remember praying and saying, you know, In my quiet time, and I'd be saying, Lord, this is so difficult. We were staying with my sister in Bangor, and then we'd go stay in the little two-bedroom apartment with five kids with this other couple in Portland. And, you know, it was provision, but we were thinking, okay, you know, this has been a couple months. It's time to get settled here. We had to take our furniture and store it, and we had such a peace that it was just God was going to work it out. And I remember the Lord just spoke to my husband. He said, you'll have a small window of opportunity, a very small window of opportunity. So I'm thinking, what does that mean? Like, I need something more than that. What's a small window of opportunity? We're looking, we're searching, we're calling, you know, God, you're not opening anything up. And so we had this, we were driving in a vehicle, and we had called this realtor, and they just happened to call, and we were with our friend, and he said, if you go down this street, and it's right off Forest Avenue in Portland, there's this little, and I had specifics that I wanted. I wanted to be safe, and I wanted my girls to be able to play outside a little bit. And so they said it's on a dead-end road, and they were telling us all about it. But there's a couple coming in at 5, at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and they are going to sign on it, and they'll have their money. So you can look at it, but it's not, nothing's going to happen because, you know, I'm not going to be able to show you this house, they said. We don't have time to get there. And my husband said, oh, that's fine. So we drove down, and it was vacated. And it was this cute little, you know, dead end, and it was a cute little cape, and it was just, everything was perfect. And he boosted me up, and I looked in the window, and I had the thought come back, small window of opportunity. I'd never went in that house to look inside. My husband called, he said, we'll be down right now to sign the papers and give you the cash to rent this house. And we moved in that house the next day, and I had been without a home for a couple of months. And God began to build my faith so that we could then believe God to build his church and build the kingdom. Amen? So many times there are situations that we are faced with, and it's so, we get used to reading in the Word and we see the miracles, and we see God's people were required to use faith. They were not given things on a silver platter. God asked them, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But the great side of that is, God is an incredible God. And he is full of mercy, he's full of grace. And there's nothing that he's asked you to do that he will not give you the grace to do in every season of your life. in every season of your life. I'm now coming into the season where I still have a three-year-old, but my daughter's been married for a year, and I'm thinking, maybe the grandbabies will wait just a little bit longer, because it makes me feel a little bit older, but I'm excited at the new seasons that God takes me in. I'm excited to see God's people grow and the sacrifices that people make and to see people believe God, just to simply take him at his word. Not take him and say, well, I'm basing what I believe on a circumstance. Because how many of you know you can't base what you believe on what you see? Can you do that? No. We got to base what we believe on the word of God. That I believe that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God is the end all. It is everything. Amen? So when I believe God's word and I take it to be what he says he's going to do for me, blessed is she who has believed that what God has said he will perform. And I just pray that from here on out through this week that you will remember when you think of that passage in Luke and we think of the Christmas story this year, that you remember that scripture, blessed is she who has believed that which God has said to you, he will perform it. Thank you. God bless you.